even the pragmatic dean would get excited about. He flopped back in his seat and shook his head.
This better be the first and last time you buy a property sight unseen.
His voice was its usual morning rasp when Maggie dragged him from his beauty sleep. The property wasn't exactly unseen, but she doubted the truth of it would make her business partner feel more confident. I saw pictures, she argued instead.
I saw the same pictures and distinctly recall trying to talk you out of it.
Wine later, Maggie told him as they got out of the truck. The ground was soft and wet beneath her work boots. What had once been an elegant, tree-lined drive was now an overgrown trail. The neglected trees and shrubs seemed determined to force the property's surrender to nature. But the house? Well, there was magic here on this bluff. She could feel it shimmering just beneath layers of rotting wood and what was most likely lead paint, like a buried treasure waiting to be unearthed. Maggie cocked her head and studied the exterior. Rain pattered off the bill of her cap. Whimsical, maybe. Dilapidated, definitely.
We're not in Oregon on the beach anymore, Toto,
Dean said, eyeing the monstrosity. No, we're not, she agreed, tucking her hands into her coat pockets and wishing she had the keys. She'd closed the deal on her last flip, a charming beach bungalow, a handful of days ago. With the largest check to date burning a hole in her pocket, she'd packed up and hit the road, heading east for the new adventure.
What the hell is it, even?
He asked, zipping his vest to his chin.
What's it doing here?
The fact that the once grand fever dream of a mansion didn't fit was precisely what she loved best about it. This part of Idaho was full of timber cabins, smart lakeside cottages, and a tidy downtown of kitschy brick and clapboard buildings. But here, surrounded by mountains and aspen and river, the Queen Anne Victorian reigned over it all. Proudly, unashamedly different, the old Campbell place had claimed this spot on the bluff without regard to any other outside forces for well over a century. She'd have bought it even without the house tangling up briefly in her own history. It was originally built by Aaron Campbell for his wife, Ava, allegedly a romantic at heart, she said, warming to her topic.
Oh, goody, a lecture.
Mr. Campbell's family owned jewelry stores and a timber operation in the area.
Must have been a lot of money in murdering trees,
Dean mused as he tested the first step leading to the porch. Actually, Campbell's money came from the 15 Western novels he wrote. He groaned.
I hate it when houses have backstories. It makes you spend more.
Mr. and Mrs. Campbell spent 4 years building this place, making sure every inch of it was perfect.
And then they died tragically of typhoid and lead-based paint?
He guessed. Maggie gave him a playful shove and danced up the steps onto the porch. No, they lived happily ever after for 40-plus years, giving generously to the town, raising a family, throwing spectacular parties.
And then they died.
And then they died, romantically, a few months apart. The house was passed down through the generations, some with better taste than others. When the family money ran out after a few generations, the house was donated to the town in the 1980s.
What did the town ever do to them?
Dean quipped. He gave the porch railing a shake and shot her a smug look when two of the spindles fell to the ground. I can fix that, she said with confidence. The town turned it into the Campbell House Museum and ran it for just over a decade, which is why the place comes chock full of family artifacts.
Don't even ask me to run the cash box at the yard sale, Magpie. I'm busy that day.
Come on. It was cute when you haggled with the church bingo lady in Aberdeen. The viewers loved it. She cupped her hands to one of the dingy front windows and peered inside. Wallpaper. Gloriously hideous pheasants in blue and gold climbed the walls of the study like an invasive ivy. Her fingers itched to touch it,